ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 20. Suresh Rishi Isha Tathaiva Nishvapi. Tirakshu Yad Ashvapi Te Janasya. Janma Satam Dur Madadigrahaya. Prabho Vidhata Sadanugrahaya Cha. Sureshvirishvisha Tathaiva Nishvapi. Tirakshu Yad Ashvapi Te Janasya. Janma Satam Dur Madadigrahaya. Prabho Vidhata Sadanugrahaya Cha. Sureshvirishvisha Tathaiva Nishvapi. Tirakshyo Yadashvapi Te Janasya. Janma Satam Dur Mado Nigrahaya. Prabho Vidhata Sadanugrahaya Cha. Sureshu, among the demigods. Rishishu, among the great sages. Isha, O Lord, Tata, as well as Eva, indeed, Nirishu, among the human beings, Api, and Tiryakshu, among animals, Yadashu, among aquatics, Api, also, Te, of you, Ajanasya, who never takes material birth, Janma, the birth, Asatam, of the non-devotees, Durmada, the false pride, Nigrahaya, for the purpose of subduing. Prabhu, O Master. Vidhata, O Creator. Sat, to the faithful devotees. Anugrahaya, for the purpose of showing mercy. Cha, and. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, O Supreme Creator and Master, you have no material birth. Yet to defeat the false pride of the faithless demons and show mercy to your saintly devotees, you take birth among the demigods, sages, human beings, animals, and even the aquatics. Purport. Among the demigods, Lord Krishna appears in such forms as Vamanadev, among the sages as Parashuram, among human beings as Lord Krishna himself and as Lord Ramachandra, and among animals as the boar incarnation. Lord Krishna appears among the aquatics as Matsya, the gigantic fish. Indeed, the plenary expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are innumerable. As the Lord relentlessly comes down within the universes to smash the false pride of the atheists and show mercy to the saintly devotees. In another sense, the Lord never appears, since he exists eternally. His appearance is like that of the sun, which is always present in the sky, but which periodically appears to our vision. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschati Deshatarine. Krishna is eternally enjoying in Vrindavan, and Vrindavan is not under the jurisdiction of the demigods or any other influence that might be found in the material worlds. Vrindavan is the abode where Krishna forgets his godhood and he devises and innovates different joyful ways to play with his pure devotees. The devotees also are not under the jurisdiction of the demigods here. They're so much imbued with pure transcendental love. Their only thoughts, activities, everything that they do, speak, and think is in relationship to their love for Krishna. And that's why Krishna prefers to stay always in Vrindavan. Now, when Krishna does appear here on schedule, the different various incarnations enter into Krishna's body, also so they can enjoy the pastimes here in Vrindavan. There was one, we don't hear about him much, there was one Muni, his name was Asuri Muni. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. He was meditating on a mountain in the Himalayas named Narmada Parvat, and his Ishtadev was Radha Krishna. He was always thinking of them within his heart. One day during his meditation, they disappeared, just as when Narada Muni, when he was a young boy, he was meditating fully on the Lord, and then the Lord disappeared in his heart. So Asuri Muni, he was very concerned. How can I get the darshan again of the Lord in my heart? So he traveled to Bhadrika Ashram to ask Naranarayan Rishi what to do, but they also weren't there. They were absent. So then he went to see Sheshashayi and he was also absent. Then he went to see Kiradakshayi Vishnu in Svetadvip and he was also absent. He couldn't find anybody. Finally, he decided he better go up to the spiritual world, to Goloka Vrindavan, to find Radha and Krishna there. He got to Goloka Vrindavan and they were also absent from there. But there were some gopas there. And the gopas said to him, go down to the material world. Krishna's there now. The same place where Vamanadeva and Parshuram go. So Asuri Muni, he traveled all the way down in the material world. He went from Swarga down to Patala Loka. He couldn't find Radha and Krishna anywhere. He was so distraught. He went to Lord Shiva, who's living in the material world, to ask him, what's going on here? I can't find anybody. And Lord Shiva explained, and that's because Krishna is in Vrindavan. He's enjoying his intimate pastimes, confidential pastimes, with his devotees in there. And they're just about to have the Rasa Leela. I'm going there to see it. And all of the incarnations, all of the different manifestations of the Lord have entered into his body so they can also enjoy this pastime with him. So Lord Shiva and Asuri Muni went there to enter into the Maharas, and the gopis stopped them They said, there's only one male here in Vrindavan. You can't enter like this. You go over to Mansarovara, and we'll give you the proper body, then you can enter. So they did what they were told, and then they were able to get darshan again of Radha and Krishna. So this particular form of the Lord, his original form is Govinda, as a young boy. He appears to be a village boy with no education, simply playing with his devotees. He's very dependent upon their attention. If he doesn't get their attention, he'll do something, just like a young boy. He'll break pots, he'll steal sweets from his friends' tiffins, he'll do whatever he can to get their attention, because Krishna, even in Vrindavan in his original form, he is completely dependent upon his devotees to enjoy. Krishna tells in the shastras that he sells himself to anyone who offers him tulsi with water. He told Durvasa Muni that I live in the heart of my devotees. Therefore, if you offend my devotees, there's no way for you to get compensation, to get any type of relief. So therefore, you have to be very careful about offending the devotees. Now, in this particular chapter, after Lord Brahma, who is an ordinary devotee, he's in Vaidhi Bhakti. It means he's following all the rules and regulations. And within sadhana bhakti, you can come to the stage of prema, but not raga bhakti, that spontaneous love that you find here in Vrindavan. So he wanted to see what Krishna would do when he stole the calves and the cowherd boys. How Krishna would respond to that. He was testing his master. And then when Krishna showed him, it's compared to a nuclear bomb here is very powerful. But a nuclear bomb on the sun is nothing. So the havoc that Lord Brahma tried to create here was completely insignificant to Krishna's lila. As soon as he saw that the boys and calves had disappeared, he just created new ones. And then, to show special favor to Brahma when he came back, he showed them the cows and the calves and the cowherd boys. Then he showed them all of the Vishnu expansions. Then he showed them all of the infinite universes with all the living entities, including himself, worshiping the Supreme Lord. Now, this particular lila is an expression, because here in this sloka it says that the Lord appears in his different incarnations to cut the pride of the non-devotees. But when the Lord sees that the devotee has pride, he goes out of his way to cut that pride. So Brahma had become a little proud because he was the leader of this material world, a secondary creator. He was proud. And Krishna cut that pride right down by showing him that he's just like all the other living entities worshiping him. Because when there's pride, you can't surrender. And without surrender, you can't love. And when there's love, then there's song. Just like the first 30 verses of this chapter, it's a stuti, the Brahma stuti. It's songs of love and appreciation. Because Brahma's pride was broken, therefore he was able to surrender to the Lord. From that surrender, he was able to express his love through song. We have the same experience in kirtans. If someone thinks himself to be the best kirtan player, the best mridanga player, the best kartal player, there's inharmoniousness in a kirtan. Because when we serve together, everyone has to understand that we're all simply humble servants of the Supreme Lord, cooperating together to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Now, this also happened when Krishna played his flute. He was just a young boy, 8 years old. He played his flute, and all of his pure devotees, the gopis, they left whatever they were doing, and they ran to be with him in the forest. And he was indifferent to them. Now, Krishna explains this indifference to his devotees because even after Brahma offered these beautiful prayers, he was indifferent. He didn't say a word. He says, I show this indifference to increase the anxiety of my devotee, to purify their love. And that's why he was indifferent. Now, the gopis questioned him afterwards that we know there are three types of love in this world. There's the hetuka. Hetuka means you're loving for a mutual exchange, like a merchant. You love me, I love you. The example they gave is when someone keeps cows, and they keep the cows to sell the milk. So that's not goseva. That's an exchange. I'll take care of the cows and I'll get milk from them. So that's hetuka. There's a reason for the love. And then there's ahetuka love. Now, ahetuka love is the devotee's love. For instance, Prahlad Maharaj. The example is given of parents. They love their children even if they're ungrateful, even if they're inimical. And amongst the devotees, the Kanishta devotees, they can't express that love because of the pride that they have. I'm the best devotee, I'm doing the best service. The Madhyamadakaris, they have power of attorney from the Supreme Lord. They can be compassionate to anyone that they see is eligible. And the Uttamadakaris, they also don't show compassion because they consider that everyone is engaged in the Lord's devotional service. They don't see any difference between demons and devotees. So this ahetuka love, it's all different types. Then finally, the gopis insinuated that you're not in either of these categories. You're actually in the ungrateful category. The ungrateful category, there's four types. They're the Atmaramas. They're so self-satisfied that they don't need anybody's love because internally they're already enjoying. So they don't care about anybody else. Then they're the Atmakamis. Aptakamis, apta means they're very expert in enjoying. Materially, they're so self-satisfied that they also don't care about anybody else because they have everything they need. Then there are the Akrita Gyas. That's the ungrateful lover. That even as much as you express your love, they don't reciprocate. And then finally, they're the Guru Druhas. So the gopis, they accuse Krishna that because you're indifferent to our love, because we've given up everything, we've come here to meet you, we've broken all the regulative principles just to come here to be with you, and still you're indifferent, and you cause us pain. And Krishna explained that the reason I do this is because I'm sitting in the heart of the devotees, watching them, to see how they're trying to gain my love. So I am observing them, and as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parityajya, he demands surrender in this incarnation. When we surrender to him, then he gives us full protection. But then, in the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of that indebtedness that he feels towards his devotees is completely repaid to all of his devotees, even the non-devotees, everyone indiscriminately. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spreads love of Godhead in all of his activities, in his singing, in his dancing, in his followers, in his teachings. And taking the mood of a devotee, Srimati Radharani, he teaches the devotees how to be pure in their love. He cannot live without the Lord. And in his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, he's simply trying to bring the Lord back to Vrindavan because Vrindavan is that abode of love. It's the expansion of the Sandini Shakti. This Sandini Shakti is arranged in such a way that everything here is for increasing the loving pastimes of the Lord. There's no other activity here but exchange of love. For instance, when Radharani had to go from Jawat to Vrindavan to meet Krishna at night, so the distance was made very small, and sometimes distance is made very big. So everything here is arranged just to accommodate the sweet pastimes of the Lord. Now, Krishna, he takes different disguises. These are the different incarnations. Sometimes as an animal. This one particular example that was given by Lord Brahma, the boar incarnation, he was born from Brahma's nose. So in that incarnation, Brahma was the Lord's father. That's how sweet the particular pastime was. The Lord Brahma became his father in that incarnation. And Brahma was so astounded to see his activities. So there's another, because he takes these dresses to enjoy with the devotees, to engage in different pastimes of reducing the pride of the non-devotees. And in the different incarnations, he's very busy in his godhood, protecting the devotees and eliminating the non-devotees. So he's not concerned so much with the loving transactions between himself and his devotees because he's busy. And then in his guna avatars, which Brahma will describe, he's very busy in the universal affairs. He has work to do here as Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu. And when he takes birth as the human beings, they're, of course, Krishna didn't take birth as an ordinary human being, but human beings, they're simply enmeshed in their karma, suffering and enjoying, because everything comes from previous activities, and then we're suffering and enjoying what we're doing now. So in the different incarnations, Krishna is not busy with his loving affairs. He'll receive the love once that pride is broken, once they surrender, once they develop their love and they offer beautiful songs and prayers to the Lord, as with Gajendra. But this particular manifestation of Krishna, his only purpose is to exchange love with his devotees. Now the devotees, they have three different kinds of love for Krishna. One is ordinary love, where they want to enjoy Krishna's love, as in the case of Kubja. It's very special because she also purely loves Krishna, is compared to a beautiful gem. But there's self-interest. Then there's mutual love that a devotee will have for Krishna, and that's like the wives. According to the rules and regulations of Dharma, they enjoy with the Supreme Lord on an equal level, give and take. So that's compared to a diamond. And then there are the gopis. The gopis, their love is compared to a kastuba jewel, because they have no interest whatsoever in enjoying them for themselves. They simply want to give Krishna pleasure. Now Krishna explains that he specifically tries to increase the love of his devotee by being indifferent to them. Examples are given that in a dark place, if you have a lamp, the lamp shines brighter. But if you have a lamp in the daytime, the lamp has very little significance. So when the devotee is suffering from separation from the Lord, when he manifests himself again, then the devotee expresses much more love than when he's always with the Supreme Lord. The founder, the father of Nitya Shastra is Bharat Muni. He says that union can only be experienced when we also have separation. So Krishna plays like that with his devotees. He appears and then he disappears, simply to increase their surrender. And his fully surrendered souls, fully surrendered devotees, they're the ones that took part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to spread his own love to everyone, but his followers who took part in his leela, they were those who in Krishna leela had fully surrendered to him. Now there's one particular manifestation of the Lord, because he has unlimited dresses, makeups, like a little child. Sometimes they'll make up in different ways. You can't tell who they are. So one time, Krishna, he took the form of a beautiful heavenly demigoddess, a Devi. She didn't have a name other than Devi. And she came in this beautiful form to Radharani's home. And she entered her home, being a young girl, nobody stopped her. And she came right to where Radharani and Lalita and Vishaka were sitting, in the inner chambers. And she wouldn't show her face. So Radharani was trying to elicit from her, why have you come? What is your sadness? What is it? Why have you come to see me? And the Devi, she expressed that it's not only here that the flute has its influence. This flute sound is heard even in the heavenly planets. And this flute sound is like nectar and poison. Because when Krishna plays his flute, we ladies of the heavenly planets, we want to drop everything and run here to Vrindavan to enjoy with Krishna. But we have our husbands, we have our responsibilities in heaven. But finally, my desire became so strong. When I heard Krishna playing his flute, I decided to come here and see him. When I came here, I saw what Krishna's activities really were. I saw that he's a cheat, he's a liar, he deceives you at all times. While he's speaking so nicely to you, he'll go right away to other lovers and enjoy with them. And not only that did I see, but I want to warn you, he's also a killer. He killed a woman. He killed a calf. He killed a bull. So I've come for your own good to warn you. You should give up this lover, Krishna. He's actually a dangerous person. Now, when Radharani heard all of this, of course she had to protect her own lover. And she explained that you're seeing this from an outside perspective. You don't understand Krishna as I understand him, because our souls are one. We're one soul in two bodies. It was my desire that Krishna enjoy with all of these gopis. There were 3 billion gopis at the Maharas, coming from all the different groups. I asked Krishna to do that because all of the gopis want to enjoy with Krishna. If he only enjoys with me, then there's a superiority. When Krishna took me alone, all of the other gopis were feeling despondent because one was better than all the others. So then I convinced Krishna, you leave me also. And then when the gopis see that I have also been neglected by you, we will all become harmonious. And then when we're harmonious, just like in any devotional service, the devotees have to be harmonious. No one should consider themselves to be better than the other devotee, because everyone is trying their best to serve Krishna. So Radharani explained to this Devi, this was my desire. So that then when we have the Rasa Leela, all of us would harmoniously be enjoying and pleasing Krishna. So these are the reasons why Krishna enjoys with others, why he neglects us. And as for a killer, we have to remember that all of the different incarnations entered into Krishna's body at that time. So this killing is not done by Krishna. He's inactive at that time. The killing is done by Vishnu. And therefore, you can't accuse Krishna of being a killer. So Devi had lost in her arguments. And therefore, she made a big challenge to Radharani. She said, "You said that you are one soul in two bodies. If you're one soul in two bodies, then I challenge you. I want you to bring Krishna here right now." So Radharani, she had complete faith in her love for Krishna, that she could draw Krishna to her anytime. So she sat down in meditation. She meditated on Krishna very deeply. She prayed to the sun god, who's always arranging for them to meet together. And in her deep meditation, Krishna then took off his disguise, and Lalita and Vishakha were very happy to see that Krishna had appeared. And then when Radharani opened up her eyes, there was Krishna in front of her. So then Lalita said, "You rascal! What are you doing here in the ladies' ashram? No men are allowed in here. How did you get in? How did you get past the guards?" And Krishna said, "I don't know how I got here. I was at Govardhan playing with my friends and herding the cows, and then suddenly I'm here." So this is the power of love. Radharani, she can even make Krishna appear. He can give up all of his disguises just because she has pure love for him. But that love is not proud love. She wants to make sure that everyone is serving harmoniously and everyone is trying to please Krishna according to their best ability. We should always try to avoid this pride in our service. No one should think that they're better than anybody else. In fact, we should think ourselves lower than the straw in the street and ready to offer respects to everyone. And then that kirtaniya sadahari. Because unless we express our love through kirtan, through songs, through, of course, Bhagavatam class is also a form of kirtan, that love becomes stifled. We have to express our love, and that means sound vibration. So when we're doing any of these things, if we're preaching, if we're doing kirtan, if we're giving class, we have to avoid this principle of pride, because Brahma here, because of his pride, he thought that he could test Krishna. And therefore, when he realized Krishna's supremacy of love in Vrindavan, he prayed to take birth here as anything, as a blade of grass, as some dust, as a stone, any form, just so he could be within this Vrindavan Dham, where love is supreme. Nowhere else do you find this love, this unselfish love of the pure devotees in Vrindavan. And therefore, Krishna never wants to leave here, and the devotees also never want to leave here. But when they have some assignment, they'll leave and then come back as soon as they can. And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada did. He had an assignment from his spiritual master. It was his life and soul. He left. And then when the time was obvious, it was mature, he came back to leave his body here. So the devotees also, they don't like to leave Vrindavan. But to carry out their different duties for their spiritual master, to glorify the Supreme Lord, they'll leave Vrindavan for preaching, for opening temples, for making devotees, and then they'll come back. And that's why originally when Prabhupada set up the Mayapur Vrindavan festivals, of course there weren't so many devotees in the movement at that time, but he wanted the devotees to come every year to Mayapur and Vrindavan to recharge their batteries. So he set it up so that they would come to Mayapur, visit the holy places, come to Vrindavan, spend a few days, and then go out again after their batteries are recharged to continue their preaching. Prabhupada was in favor of the devotees coming to Vrindavan and then getting again inspired to go out and preach again. So we're so fortunate to be in Vrindavan, and we have to always avoid this pride, because as a result of the pride, Lord Brahma, he couldn't stay. He had to go back to his universal affairs, and he was just praying for the opportunity that if not in this birth, hopefully in his next birth, he could take birth in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So we're most fortunate to be here, and we have to take advantage of that. We have to always avoid thinking ourselves better than anyone else. Alternatively, we have to think ourselves the lowest of the low. We have to remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special compensation of giving back his love to everyone. And in that mood, not just keep that love to ourselves, but try to help others surrender to the Lord and take part in his pastimes by engaging in Sankirtan. This kirtan is so important. Therefore, we have the 24-hour kirtan here, and it should be brought all over the world so that everyone can taste this mellow of love given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, any questions? Yes, Prabhu?
You were mentioning how Krishna and Radha are one, in the sense that Krishna expands himself as a female form as Radharani. She becomes a separate entity, and Krishna expands himself in Balaram and Vishnu and all the various incarnations. Although they are Krishna, but they're also separate individuals and also like living entities in one sense, were part of Krishna. Could you give something more clarity on all that?
Yes, Krishna expands himself to enjoy. And Krishna doesn't fit into any of the other categories of love, because we have single-pointed love towards Krishna. But Krishna has unlimited amounts of living entities to love. And he has to spread his love amongst all the living entities. And he enjoys with each and every living entity in a different way. And that's why Shesha Naga, he can never come to the end of glorifying the different qualities of the Lord, because with every single living entity, the Lord manifests different qualities. So the reason that the Lord expands as Radharani, as Balaram, as all of the incarnations, as the living entities, is to enjoy loving relationships with them. And he draws that love out of them through the process of surrender, and then he, through the Gaura Lila, he spreads that love to even those who are not qualified. Okay?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the next class. Again, you said that we should not think we are superior to anyone, but at the same time, everyone is gifted in a different way, like in different category of life. Like you can do different things in a very spot way. So is it okay to tell your authority that I am a spot in this, like we do this seva, rather than that seva, or we should be doing anything for whatever is going on?
A devotee understands that all of his, whatever qualities he has, is being given to him by Krishna so that he can perform particular services for him. We have zero qualification, but in order to carry out his service, he will give us different qualifications. So that's really the way to see things in our devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, he was the most humble. He never considered himself to be greater than anyone. But he had such a big responsibility that Krishna gave him so many qualities that he was able to attract thousands and millions of devotees back to Krishna. So that's all, depending upon our surrender, he will give us particular qualities. But those qualities are not ours, they're his.
But are we allowed to tell that this is what I'm expert in, proper authorities that we can do, I can do this seva better than any other seva, are they allowed to say that?
Well, that's the Swadharma. Swadharma is according to your body and your mental, your guna and your karma. You might be facilitated to do particular services, just as Arjun. Now, Krishna knew what his Swadharma was, Arjuna's Swadharma, so he encouraged him that you're a warrior, you have to fight. There's no question of meditating. So yes, you can, according to your guna and your karma, you can explain to your temple authorities or whoever you have to speak to what your Swadharma is, that I'm more inclined to artwork, I'm more inclined to kirtan, whatever that is, because that comes along with the body. But that's not some special qualification, that's just what comes with the body. Yes, Prabhu.
What is the origin of pride? Why some devotees become proud and other devotees do not become proud?
They forget. Just like Lord Brahma forgot that he's simply an insignificant living entity, but because he was given so much responsibility in this universe, he thought that he could test his master. He wanted to see what Krishna could do. So sometimes we're given a lot of responsibility and we think that I'm very great, why anyone should listen, you know, why anyone should not listen to me? I have a very powerful position. And this pride is what Krishna knocks down in the devotees. He doesn't only knock down the pride of the non-devotees, but the pride in the devotees as well. Pride cometh before the fall. Excuse me? Can I quote? Where he breaks down the pride of the devotees?
No, the origin of pride.
The origin of pride. Well, yes, in these prayers, Lord Brahma will explain.
Maybe from Bhagavad Gita, other...
Let her just answer it.
There's one sloka in the Bhagavad Gita. Ye yatamam prabodhyante tangs tataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So when someone has pride, Krishna will reward you accordingly. And when someone has pure love, he will also reward accordingly. And then also in the Bhagavad Gita, there are two slokas that talk about ananya bhakti, how Krishna encourages that. So depending upon how you surrender to the Lord, he will respond accordingly.
Hare Krishna. You're talking about humility, and then Krishna responds to that some way or some way. And we saw this in Germany when this professor Durkheim came. He was a very world famous Zenbuddhist. He brought Zenbuddhism to the West, kind of Acharya, this whole Zenbuddhist movement. And when he saw Prabhupada, you know, he was very apprehensive, and he didn't know what to make of it. And but then, when Prabhupada invited him to talk, and he talked and talked and talked, it was classical Buddhism. And then he asked, well, he was a humble man, he asked what now Swami would think of this. And Prabhupada said, not very intelligent. He was in a shock when he heard that. I mean, this was exalted. I used to tell him then Buddhism. It was wonderful, you know. But there was no knowledge of the soul.
Yeah.
That's the point. So the Prabhupada explained to him, basically speaking, that you know that you are the body, but what you don't know is that you're a spirit soul. You're part of God, and your duty is to serve God. This was a complete new word for the Zen Buddhists.
Yes.
And so in front of all of us, we were like 20 people in the room. Imagine that 72 years men, we go down in front of Prabhupada, pay for the weekend, in front of all of us, because he was very humble. So he, in the next days, talked to Prabhupada quite intimately about spiritual life. And by the end he left, he told Mandaroti, he said, I have met many gurus, many sannyasis, many sons, many babas, many this, that, I met the Pope, I met everybody you can possibly meet. I never in my whole life met a person like this person. So he has no, it means he's truly on the other side. He said, this is the most fortunate day of my life. So you can see how, due to his humility, it was very humble to the Prophet. Prabhupada revealed himself in a very deep way. This man is beyond everything I've seen so far in my life. I wish.
Thanks for the beautiful lecture. Madhai, two questions are there. First question is like, as you said, the devotees who are totally surrendered, they enter into Chaitanya Leela. But in previous lectures we heard that first we have to know Chaitanya Leela, then we enter Krishna Leela.
That's for those who are coming from the other side. The internal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are all coming from Goloka Vrindavan and from the spiritual world, and they descended along with him. And it's those devotees that he paid back that debt of love that they expressed to him in the Krishna Leela by giving unlimited love to them in Chaitanya Leela. And that love spread even to those who then could enter into Gaura Leela by seeing the love of his followers. So coming from two sides. You had a second question?
Second question, as you said, like gopis, love are selfless. But we see like they had desire to marry Krishna or some lusty desires like for their, like towards Krishna, as seeing his beauty. So how can we understand that gopis love is selfless?
It's selfless because the desire was to please Krishna. The desire wasn't to enjoy Krishna. And that's why it's different from the wives' love. Because when you follow all the dharmic principles, there's a mutual, I please you, then you please me, I satisfy your desires, then you satisfy my desires. That's all according to dharma. But the gopis gave up all principles of dharma just so that they could please the Supreme Lord. No, it appears to be calm. That's why the Atmendriya and the Krishnendriya. Atmendriya means calm. And Krishnendriya means only trying to satisfy Krishna's senses. That's the very definition of calm, Atmendriya. Yes, he's the hill at Barsana with the four heads. That's how he was able to take part in the Krishna Leela. After that, there's one Mataji who has a question.
Srila Prabhupada was so free from the desire to enjoy it,
yes,
that one time he was very fond of Radha Landanishwara. His deity said, Landanishwara. The first deity,
yes,
they were restored.
Yes.
Actually, the small miracles have been restored in Germany just before that, by Jumuna. But these were the first big deities that were restored. So everybody thought, of course, that Prabhupada must be particularly in favor of his deities. And so he stood in front of Radha Ishwara and he prayed. And so when he was, after that, Rancho asked Srila Prabhupada, Radha Ishwara must be the most favored deities to you. And Prabhupada was shocked. He said, but that would be Sanskrit if you get you. So even the preference, you know, even that was for Prabhupada too much, that would be sensitive. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Shanti. Thank you for your most amazing class. What was very hitting, there were so many takeaway points in your class, but what was very striking and hit me was, like you say, life-saving. This was devotional life-saving, the point that you made about serving harmoniously. So I just had a question about that. I hope I framed my question properly. So sometimes we see, and then Prabhuji asked you a question and you said, Gideon Kamam Prabhupada. So Krishna is reciprocating according to how we approach him. So sometimes in devotional service, we may see that not necessarily everybody is serving in a harmonious way, i.e., you know, assisting the other to do their service better. So it's a beautiful offering for Krishna. And if somebody's trying to do that, but then the others take them for granted and try to override them or deride them or, you know, step all over them. So I think what I want to ask is that when we see that, you know, somewhere there happening, what is their destination? What actually happens to them? How do they then change to be able to serve harmoniously? I'm not asking it properly, but I pray that you...
They get sent to Africa. there was one incident in Bombay. Prabhupada had a secretary and a servant. And the servant was massaging Prabhupada and had to plug in, you know, for the heating up the water. But every time he plugged it in, the water tap of the secretary he was cooking for Prabhupada would become electrified. So he kept telling him, don't plug it in because I can't turn the water on. And he kept doing it. So finally, the devotee got so upset with him that he came out and they had a fist fight right in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had to break them up. And Prabhupada, he told them that we should never do any service that will cause inconvenience to another devotee. So that's a golden rule in our devotional service. I'll repeat it. We should never do any service that will cause inconvenience to another devotee. So we have to remember that when I'm doing our devotional service. So as a result of that, the devotee who kept plugging in the thing, he was sent to Africa to to preach. And the other devotee was eventually sent away to Eastern Europe. So it's not that, you know, they both got to stay with Srila Prabhupada. But we have to remember that rule. Before we do things, we have to see if this is going to cause inconvenience to others. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.